Hey there, and welcome to the One Church podcast. This message was recorded live at one of our services. If you'd like to know more about life at One Church, visit us online at weareone.church or check us out on social media.
This series is all about the analogy being a marathon runner. And so often our faith is compared to this analogy of a marathon runner. See, we're not in this for the short term, but we're in this for the long haul for eternity. Amen. And so often the world's perspective and the world's way of thinking is short-term. Short-term fixes, short-term things that can provide short-term satisfaction, although often they may be promised as long-term satisfaction. But as soon as you get the latest iPhone, 6 months later, what do? They bring out another one. And so it's a short-term fix to provide that comfort or that security or that pleasure or that contentment that the world is constantly promising but never delivering on. But instead, we believe that Jesus provides a long-term marathon-style results and options and opportunities for us to step into that might not be short-term fixes, which often means they're harder to handle, they're tougher to swallow, it's more awkward to work out, but they mean things can be broken once and for all, amen? They mean we don't have to battle the same things again and again and again, but we can find one victory once and for all that changes our lives forever, amen? And if I was speaking into this series and what I believe it's going to do in your life individually, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes you find yourself like battling the same things over and over again. And maybe you go through a season of life and you think like you've found deliverance from the thing that's been holding you back, or you think that you've found freedom from the sin that seems to trip you up time and time again. So you move through that season, you feel great, and then another season rolls around and you find yourself stuck in the same destructive mindset, asking the same questions, struggling with the same bad results. And I think so often, even if we don't mean it or even if we don't think it, we can get caught in the ways of the world's thinking, because society is constantly flooding us with unhelpful messages. It takes just one episode of Friends and suddenly your mindset can shift to believe that love is found in a short-term hookup when it never is, right? That's just one example. It can take just one day at work to think that contentment or success is found in climbing the career ladder, and then you find yourself climbing the career ladder and realize that's not the case. All right? And so often we can get caught in these cyclical mindsets, but believing over the course of this series that things are going to get broken in our lives once and for all. Amen? That these mindsets that hold us back, these mindsets that we think we may have overcome, and then 6 months later find us battling the same thing. The sin that you think you've overcome in your own, by your own good works, will be broken in the name of Jesus and his sacrifice. Amen. Amen. So dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you want the best for our lives. We thank you that you are constantly at work for our benefit, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you don't provide short-term fixes, but long-term solutions that don't just last for this lifetime, Lord, but stretch into eternity. So I pray that you open up our hearts as we hear your word this morning. I pray it's your word that is heard, your word that is spoken, Lord Jesus. And I pray it's your power and your spirit which breaks things in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, yeah. Come on, amen, amen, amen. Adam Peaty is quite a successful swimmer. I was going to show you a photo, but he's always got his nipples out, and that didn't feel appropriate for church. He's got his nipples out because he's a swimmer. He doesn't just, or maybe he does, I don't know. He's quite a successful swimmer. He has won 4 Commonwealth golds, 17 European Championship golds, 8 World Championship golds, and 3 Olympic golds. Right now, he holds 3 world records all in the pool. That's pretty impressive, right? Like, he's doing well for himself. He's at the top of his career ladder. He's at the top of his profession. He is the best that has ever existed in 3 of these Olympic disciplines of swimming. The best that has ever existed over the last 13 billion years, if you believe science, right? The best that has ever existed. Yet, last year, he took some time out from his sport. He decided not to compete in some of the challenges and games that were coming up because he'd recognized that in his pursuit of success, in his pursuit of fame, in winning every single gold that he's won, he was still missing something in his life. Speaking on BBC Breakfast, he said that a gold medal is the coldest thing you will ever wear. Gold medal is the coldest thing you will ever wear. You think it will fix all your problems, it will not. That's what he said on BBC Breakfast, nationwide TV. He was on BBC Breakfast because he was discussing what had happened in the break he'd taken from sport. He took a break from sport at the pinnacle of his career, at the top level, when he's winning these world records. He took a break because he realised his soul needed something else. His soul required something that a gold medal wasn't going to fulfil. His soul had a need that a gold medal wasn't going to fulfil. And if you've seen the interview, he talks about how finding faith again, being in church every Sunday, speaking the name of Jesus over a situation, is how he found contentment and comfort for the first time in years of his life, right? Someone at the pinnacle of their career realized that in the gold medals, in the fame, in the success, in the possessions, that is not where life is found, and that is not where his soul will find contentment. But instead, it took a step away from the fame, took a step away from the competition for him to realize that actually contentment and comfort is found not in that, but in Jesus Christ. And you'll see him competing at the Paris Olympics later this year with a massive cross tattooed on his chest. Right, he's tattooed everywhere apart from his chest, and now he's got a massive cross tattooed on his chest. Why? Because now he's realized that his career is not about him winning gold medals, but about him using it as a platform to share his faith to a world that is facing exactly the same thing he's facing. Amen? That's pretty cool. But it's something that we can all trip up in. And it's a mindset we can all trip up in. We can think that the next possession will finally provide that pleasure that we need. We think that that next step on the career ladder will provide the success that we so desperately crave. We think the next thing will always answer our problems. But Jesus, in his most famous sermon, the most famous preach ever written, recorded, delivered, as he sat on a Mediterranean countryside, with the breeze whistling through the trees and his nearest and dearest gathered, he speaks to his first disciples and he says these words: blessed are the poor in spirit. I mean, that doesn't sound right, does it? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Primarily, Jesus is talking to his disciples who have just given up everything to follow him. They've given up their career, they've left their families, they've given up their livelihoods, they've left everything they think they learned in Jew school to follow this new teacher, this new rabbi. They've given up everything. Like, these guys are now homeless. These guys have no food, they don't know where their next meal is coming from. These guys have nothing, they've given up everything. And Jesus turns to them predominantly and says, you are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I'm reading this thinking, come on now, Jesus. Surely they're not blessed. They don't live in an age of the internet. They don't have any possessions. They've literally just given up everything. Surely they are not blessed. But here's the truth. The disciples understood something about their time. They understood that comfort, they understood that security, they understood that contentment, they understood that life wasn't found in an abundance of possessions. It wasn't even found in a career they'd been training their lives for. It wasn't found in catching fish for them or collecting taxes. It wasn't found in these things that society builds up and tells us where life is found. They realized that life is found in one place and one place only, in the pursuit of Jesus. And so you can read the accounts of the disciples leaving everything to follow Jesus. It wasn't even like a question for them. They were happy to leave everything and follow Jesus because they'd had an encounter that for the first time in their lives, their souls felt what their souls should be feeling. Life, contentment, peace, purpose, hope. And so they were happy leaving their world of possessions and livelihoods and homes and families to follow this homeless rabbi because they realized that actually blessing isn't found in possessions or success or fame. Blessing is found in the pursuit of Jesus. And that's what they discovered. And that's what Jesus is speaking into. But it gets better than that, because the verse doesn't stop at blessed are the poor in spirit. But the verse gives us a promise. The verse gives a promise to those who are poor in spirit. Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. the kingdom of heaven which pushes back darkness, the kingdom of heaven which forever brings healing, the kingdom of heaven which brings peace in the most anxious of circumstances, the kingdom of heaven which brings hope in despair, the kingdom of heaven that brings provision in poverty, the kingdom of heaven that is constantly alight to our world, that is what theirs is. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven, an inheritance that has been given to them. They have a share in it. It's not some way off thing to be received in eternity. It's present now, available for them and available for us. Yeah. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So they realize when they forgo the luxuries of the world, when they forgo maybe their perceived comfort, when they put down their desire for the things of the world, they realize that in that moment they are poor in spirit. Why? Because without Jesus, they have nothing. Without Jesus, they are nothing. Without Jesus, they are just constantly desiring after something they will never attain. But by understanding they were poor in spirit and they needed Jesus, in that moment, they received the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom. And it's available for us today. That same kingdom is available for us today. But I think one of the challenges is so often we find ourselves pursuing the things of the world because we sit for 2 hours maybe in a moment like this and then I spend 37 and a half hours a week in a NHS workplace which doesn't quite think this way. And I spend life with friends who don't quite think this way or family members who don't quite think this way or watching TV that doesn't quite align to these views and we can so easily get indoctrinated into the thoughts that the next possession or the next step up the career ladder will solve these things. But when we pursue the world, we lose our inheritance of heaven because they don't go hand in hand. They're opposed to each other. We can't have the world and also have the inheritance of heaven. We can't constantly be in pursuit of the latest great possession or the bigger house or the nice holiday or fame or success and at the same time receive the inheritance of heaven. It's when we understand our need for God and only God, when we align our lives with the pursuit of Jesus and only Jesus, it's in that moment that we inherit the kingdom. And man, the kingdom's so much better than the world. The kingdom is eternal. The world is forever fragile. The kingdom calls you a son or daughter of Jesus, knit together in your mother's womb, called and set apart and made holy to do good works. The world doesn't offer you any of that. The world may offer you a promotion and a slight raise on your bank balance, but that doesn't provide anything eternal. That's just fragile, temporary, like the mist of the morning. But in the kingdom of heaven, man, you are empowered to do good works, commissioned to heal the sick and raise the dead. That's what the kingdom of heaven offers you, and the disciples realized that. So much so that just a few years later, they were more than willing to give their lives for that call, more than willing to give their own lives so that the kingdom of heaven's message would remain strong. I mean, that's how much they believed it. That's how sure they were of the resurrection of Jesus, that they would go through the same traumatic experience. Why? Because they were pursuing one thing and one thing only, Jesus. And so this message this morning, what I believe we're going to break is our perception of self-worth and value. See, if you've ever battled with self-worth or self-value or seeing yourself not as the way God's seen you, but maybe seeing yourself as powerless or anxious or unsure or like you don't belong or like you're isolated or like no one understands you, that's because you're aligned with the way of the world. The way of the world that says you need to achieve this long list of things to be worth anything, to have any value. The way of the world that says you need to have these possessions to be valuable. Way of the world that says value is attained through these steps. But Jesus comes to you and says, no, you have value right now because he created you, knit you together in your mother's womb, the psalmist writes. That he has purposed you and given you gifts and talents to outwork his good, set apart for good works, he says. And so our value doesn't need to be found in the pursuit of the world. Our value can be found in one thing and one thing only, and that's the kingdom of heaven, which is our inheritance given to us today, available to us today, to walk in that today. And so, Paul, when you go down to the NHS in Bristol, you literally carry the kingdom of heaven with you. And so every meeting you go into, you carry the kingdom of heaven with you. So you don't need to moan about the stupid decisions the management of the NHS make anymore, because the kingdom of heaven is so much more powerful than that. You literally carry every email you write, kingdom of heaven. All the blessing that comes with that, all the hope that comes with that, all the healing that comes with that, kingdom of heaven. It's the same for all of us, every workplace we enter. It's the kingdom of heaven we carry with us. Why? Because we recognize we're poor in spirit. When we recognize that and come to Jesus, we inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so when you're battling your negative family members, it's the kingdom of heaven that you carry with you into that situation. You don't have to stay wrestling the same problems they're wrestling. You bring the answer, the solution. It's always the kingdom of heaven. That's always the answer. It's available to us. We carry it. We walk in it. Everywhere we step the kingdom of heaven. Every time we come and do church in this building, we're not doing it out of our own goodness or our own strengths or our own talents, but we're doing it because the kingdom of heaven is going to outwork its purpose in Podsmead. And we get to be a part of that in this season. And so right now in this building, we believe it's the kingdom of heaven that's present, which means sickness has to run, which means anxiety has to leave. It means depression is not present. Why? Because in the kingdom of heaven, there's health, there's peace, and there's joy. Amen. And that's what we carry everywhere. But before we get the kingdom of heaven, we need to recognize that without Jesus, we are nothing. We have to recognize the poverty of spirit that we carry without Jesus. Because when we recognize Jesus, when we pursue Jesus and nothing else, when we forgo the things of the world, that's when we inherit the kingdom. That's when we can be called blessed. That's what the disciples realized on a hill in the Mediterranean. That same truth is here today in a pub/community center in Podsmead. That when we forgo everything of the world, we can get the kingdom of heaven. And see, if you're getting your self-worth from the world, it will always be fragile. Your self-worth will only be as good as the latest possession you've got, or the job you hold, or the house you're in. But if you can get your self-worth from the kingdom of heaven, it's eternal. You'll always be more than enough. You'll always be valuable. You'll always be empowered. No matter what your circumstances look like, you'll always have the power of God to step out and see things change in your life. You'll always carry the provision of God into your circumstances. You'll always carry the healing of God into your family members' lives or workplaces. You'll always carry the peace of God where anxiety used to reign. You'll always carry the joy of God. Why? It might not be fact, but it's truth. God's truth will work through you. Hey, can we stand for a moment? Jesus. So believe that's going to break this morning. That our worth will not come from the world, but will come from God. That our pursuits will not be of the world, but they'll be of Jesus. And that our experience will not be worldly, but will be kingdomly. In every conversation we have. I feel there's something on our workplaces this morning. That when we step into our workplaces, we need to know that we carry the kingdom of heaven with us. So it doesn't matter what's being spoken about at the water cooler or on the Teams meetings. It doesn't matter what the kids in the schools are saying or what the teachers are saying, because as we step into that, we carry the kingdom of heaven. We carry the solution to every single problem. We carry the answer to every pain that is felt. But before we can walk in that, we need to recognize whose we are. We need to recognize that we are called as sons and daughters of Jesus, and we need to stop pursuing things of the world and believing that a next possession or a next promotion or a next house will fulfill that void in our life. First, we need to understand that the pursuit of Jesus comes first. And when our priority is aligned with him, that's when we can inherit the kingdom. That's when the kingdom is ours. That's what Jesus is talking about in this marathon mindset. Jesus. first thing is a call to understand our poverty in spirit and that Jesus has to be our only pursuit. So for a moment, will you bow your head and shut your eyes? And if you've recognized that actually you're pursuing something, number one, that isn't Jesus, that you're pursuing something that isn't his presence or isn't his purpose in your life, but you've got caught in the lies of society that pursuing other things will bring you happiness or contentment or peace or joy or purpose. If you've realized that as I've been speaking, that's been your pursuit, what I'm going to do is ask you to pop up a hand, and that will be a physical sign that you are not pursuing the ways of the world anymore, but you're going to make the kingdom your number one focus. You're elevating Jesus to his rightful place as number one, that you are recognizing that you are poor in spirit in and of yourself, but in Jesus, you're believing that you will be rich in his blessings. So that's the first thing. So if that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to pop up a hand. 1, 2, 3. It's great. You can pop your hands down. Lord Jesus, for those 5 or 6 people that pop their hands up, Lord, I pray they recognize a change in their motives. They recognize a change in their actions and their desires, Lord Jesus, that you'll come down and break something in their lives that has seen other things take number one spot, Lord, but that in every moment, in every action, in every thought, it will be your purposes, it will be your kingdom that now comes as number one, Lord. And when the enemy comes and tries to bring lies or comes to try and bring deceit and tries to dumb down the value and importance of this, Lord, that your spirit will reign supreme in those moments, that your spirit will take power and control over those thoughts and conversations that go in their heads, Lord Jesus, and they understand that from this moment on, you become number one, your pursuit becomes number one, that your purpose and your presence is all that they care about pursuing in their lives, whether it's in this building or in their homes or in their workplace, with their family or with their friends or on holiday, Lord Jesus, that you come number one in your name, Jesus. We declare this to be. So we've aligned ourselves with Jesus. We've accepted our poverty in spirit. Now we need to understand that we have the kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom. That's what Jesus says. Theirs is the kingdom. That means everywhere we walk, everywhere we step, every encounter we have, every thought we have, every feeling we have, kingdom comes first. We carry a kingdom culture. Every step we take, we step the kingdom forward. We step forward in the kingdom. That's what we do. Lord Jesus. If you're battling with that self-worth question, which I touched on there, if you struggle with seeing yourself as a son or daughter of Christ, if you struggle with seeing yourself as belonging in this place, if you struggle with understanding where you belong or whose you are or where your strengths are or where your gifting is, if that's a battle that you're facing, you need to break that in the name of Jesus this morning. You need to break those negative mindsets, that sprint mentality that thinks of quick fixes rather than understanding that in Jesus we have everything we need. We are called and set apart on purpose. So if that's you, you're going to do the same thing again, heads bowed, eyes closed. If that's you, you need to break that spirit, and you want to break that spirit this morning, that you want to see yourself as Jesus sees you, that you want to understand you are a son or daughter, that you want to step away from the anxiety of trying to live up to other people's expectations, or you want to step away from constantly striving to become something you don't know you'll ever become, and instead you want to understand that you are already a son or daughter of Jesus. If that's you, I want you to pop up a hand on 1, 2, 3. Amen. You can pop those hands down. Lord, over the people that have responded right now, Lord, we pray that they see themselves as you see them, Lord, clothed as Christ, Lord Jesus, that they understand that their self-worth is not found in possessions or what the world would call success, Lord, but they are already everything they need to be, Lord, that they have been knit together in their mother's womb, that every trial they've gone through does not change their status as a son or daughter of Christ, that no matter what they go through, they always go through it carrying your kingdom anointing, set apart, empowered to speak truth, to speak life, to be life, to receive life, to live as life, Lord Jesus, from now on into eternity, Lord. We pray we seal that in their lives, Lord, that this isn't a reoccurring battle they constantly have to go through, Lord. This isn't something they're going to face again in 6 months' time, but from this moment on, they understand the mindset has shifted, that they carry a mindset of a son or daughter of Christ, that they have a full inheritance, that nothing can change that in the name of Jesus. And we say amen to that word. Amen. The final thing is our workplaces. We need to understand we don't just carry this in this room, but we are called to have power and authority in our workplaces. We are called to bring kingdom to our workplaces. We are called to walk in kingdom in our workplaces. And I want to mobilize you in this moment, okay, church? So this isn't going to be me leading it, it's going to be you leading it, because you carry the kingdom. It's not just me that carries the kingdom, it's not just the front row that carries the kingdom, not just Ollie that carries the kingdom leading worship, but you carry the kingdom. And so you can declare it, you can speak life, you can believe for it in this moment. You can stir something up in yourself here that will carry you into your Mondays and your Tuesdays and your Wednesdays. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to turn to the person next to you and pray for their workplace. If you're retired, you don't have a workplace, pray for whatever you're walking into this week. Pray for the people you're going to be walking with. Pray for the people you're going to be spending time with. I want you to declare that the kingdom will come in your workplaces and the people you spend time with this morning. I want you to declare the authority of God over those places. I want you to declare God's kingdom come in our workplaces. Over to you, church.
Lord, we thank you for a beautiful time in your presence this morning. And Lord, yeah, we just want to cement everything that's been shared this morning. I want to cement everything that Greg's just brought. Lord, that our self-worth isn't found in anything other than you. Amen. Amen. And this is who we are, this is where we are every Sunday, and just the last word in today's service before we wrap up and go, but if anybody just needs to say yes to Jesus, if anybody needs to be made right with him, to put him as King and Lord of their lives, then again, with a moment of privacy, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you want to say yes to living life for Jesus, if you want to say yes to his freedom, yes to his peace, yes to his love, yes to everything that you've heard this morning, why don't you just raise your hand again and we can pray and invite the Lord to be with you now. Heavenly Father, thank you for those who raised their hand just then. And Lord, we just pray. God, heaven says that we celebrate over everybody who responds to you. And today, Lord, we do that. We say thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you meet us in this place where we're at. And Lord, that this is the beginning of going on a journey. This is the beginning of learning how to live life for you. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being with us this week, church. We will see you same time, same place next week. Have a great week. Amen. Yeah.